being the influencing generation that can influence what their parents buy and do. And the values of the truth are undermined by the music industry, the entertainment industry, and the advances in technology. We're also faced with very effective shovels in our education system. These are things from Australia, but I'm sure in your education system you have the seeds of the same thing. I must say in Australia, our education system is rotten to the core and has been for a number of years. For example, you see what it says in New South Wales, children are not the property of parents. Our society has asserted itself and has the responsibility of Parliament to protect the rights of children. The state has a sacred duty to enforce those standards. And the number one principle of our state government education system is to rescue children from the prejudice of their parents. The humanists have got into our teaching society in Australia and they see themselves as the ministers of a new religion. And also education systems in Australia, I don't know what it's like here, but I'm sure it's coming if it's not here already, we have this emphasis upon humanist values. Recently at a young folks camp, we had reason to discipline a 15-year-old. And you know, he turned on us and he said, I demand to be respected. I have my rights. A 15-year-old. Sad to say, he's no longer in the circles of the truth. But he'd been got at by an education system that told him that he's got rights. And you see, that's what we're up against. We're up against Philistine shovels that are filling in the wells of Abraham as fast as we can dig them. Suppressing divine thinking. And I'll just leave you this one just to look at. This is the sort of thing that's being pushed in Australia to our children. Alternative lifestyles. Making them adults before they're ready for it. But I want you to notice here, he told the conference, he described people with religious and cultural intolerances, aggressive ways of handling conflict and autocratic beliefs as cowboys. And that's the way they see us. They see us as autocratic in our beliefs. Because we have values, we say this is right and that is wrong. Because we believe that God said that children ought to obey their parents because this is right. There is right and there is wrong. And we are faced with that sort of stuff being pushed to our children. And it doesn't matter what subtle format it might come in, that's the underlying philosophy behind most of today's education. You know, we have courses in our schools in Australia where they talk about it's the health subject. But when you go down below the surface, you find that they're teaching equality. Boys are taught to do ironing as part of their course because that's teaching about equality. And it comes under the banner of health. And we've got a problem in Australia where many of our boys are intimidated so that they're frightened to take up leadership roles. They've been told so often to sit there and be quiet and let the girls have a go. And we're having to redress that problem by having special weekends for the boys to encourage them to be leaders once again because they've been humiliated at school. But we have to keep digging, and instructed servants keep on digging and finding water. Look at verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and they found a well of springing water. And it does pay off to keep digging with our children because after years and years of painful digging, you think you're getting nowhere. And the world keeps putting the dirt back in. And you keep shoveling it out. And all of a sudden your children start to come up with some spiritual ideas for themselves. And you start to get a response. And the well begins to spring. And it's a great joy when that happens. But again, there's conflict with the Philistines. The herdmen of Gerar did strive with his herdmen, saying, the water's ours. They hadn't dug it, but they wanted to take it over. And we have to be so careful of having put so much education into our children. And generally in the truth, we bring up good, clean living children with solid principles, with responsibility in their lives. And the world says, we want those children. We want to make them idols in our company. And we've seen young people who've been greatly tempted by the offers of promotion at a very young age because their parents made them into responsible young adults. We've seen young brethren who've been put in charge of our young folks group. Tremendous potential, given great responsibility at a young age. But then the world gets hold of them and uses that potential We've got to be so careful. The Philistines want to take over the good things that we have achieved. So there was contention and they strove with him. And he moves on in verse 21. He digs another well. And they strove that also. And there's hatred now because you can see the conflict between what Isaac's trying to achieve and the Philistines wanting to take it over. They're doing everything they can to suppress living water. And then we come to verse 24. He gets to Beersheba. He's come back to Abraham's spiritual base. And Yahweh appeared to him the same night. As soon as he gets there, Yahweh's there. The angel's waiting for him. And he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of thy father. Fear not. I am with thee. I will multiply thy seed. You're doing the right thing, Isaac. You're digging wells hard for God. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of Yahweh and pitched his tent. You see, he's back now to the principles of Abraham's family life. And God is blessing him. And then we find the Philistines are forced to admit that God is with him. In the end, the world will have to realise that what we've done, that our policies of raising our children were right. They mightn't like the fact that we separate our children from their company. They mightn't like the fact that we fill our children's head with solid values, with a sense of right and wrong, that God has spoken and God must be listened to. They mightn't like those sort of values. But in the end, they will have to come and admit that we were right. And so the Philistines come to Isaac. You know, these are the lords of the Philistines that now seek out a man living in a tent who's now living many miles away from their cities. And they come to him in obeisance. Look what they say. They come and Isaac says, why have you come to me seeing you hate me? You've done nothing but chase me around the land. Why are you coming now? And they said, seeing we saw in verse 28, Yahweh was with you. We want to make a covenant with you. Brethren and sisters, one day in the kingdom, that's going to happen for us. They'll come to us. They'll glorify God in the day of visitation. Jesus said, your enemies will come and worship at your feet and to know that God has loved you. And when we inherit the land promised to Abraham, even the kings of the earth will come to us and say, well, you were right and we were wrong. And they came and they made a covenant with him. They'll want to be our friends. They sought him out. Now look at verse 29. Isaac was extremely gracious to these people who had done nothing but harass him. They said, we want you to promise to do us no hurt as we have not touched thee. Now what hypocrites they were. We've done you nothing but good. They'd chased him all over the countryside and put all his wells in that they could. They were hypocrites and they were liars. And we've sent you away in peace. Hatred, contention, where's the peace in that? And now you are at the blessed of Yahweh. Well, Isaac was prepared to live at peace, if at all possible, with his neighbours. But I want you to notice, he didn't invite them to stay. In verse 30, he made them a feast, and they'd eat and drink, and they rose up, and they swore one another, and Isaac sent them away. Now, I have no doubt what the Philistines were now wanting to achieve was to say, well, look, this man, wherever he sows grain, it rains. And he gets blessed a hundredfold. Wherever he digs a well, he finds water. We've got to get in with this man because he's the prosperous one. He's got far bigger herds than we've got. Let's get our sons and daughters married off to his children and we'll be in good stead. Because wherever he goes, he gets blessed by his God. Let's join up with him. Isaac sent them away. You've got no part with bringing up the seed of Abraham. He sent them away. And they departed from him in peace. And notice verse 32. As the Philistines go over the hill that way, a servant runs in the back door of the tent. Isaac, Isaac, we've found more water. And God blesses him again. It came to pass the same day that Isaac sent them away. His servants came and told him concerning the well that they had digged and said, we have found water again. And you see, God is blessing the policy of Abraham and Isaac concerning well-digging. God has prepared a city for those who declare they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What are the lessons, brethren and sisters? Well, very simply these. We've got to open the ears of our children to the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father had a son, and God gave great attention to open his ears. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. The tongue of the instructed disciple, that means in the Hebrew. that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We want our children to be able to go out and to be able to be springs of water that can actually offer sustenance to those who need help. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious nor turned away back. We've got to give our time and our effort and our energies, and particularly in those young years, to making sure those little ears are opened up to the word. And digging is always hard work. Our tools are the Sunday school, the Bible readings, the Bible classes, the discussions about the truth around the dinner table, sitting in the way, travelling in the way, wherever we are, let's talk with our children about these things. It's all part of the digging process. We have to remember to maintain a distance from the world. Isaac was blessed when he moved away from the Philistines. Now I know that's not always possible. That's why our last three studies are going to deal with the life of Joseph. He was a young person who had to live amongst the Egyptians. And we're going to see the quality of his living. But wherever possible, keep a distance between yourself and the world. And the third lesson is every generation has to dig. Just come in conclusion to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The great danger of those who came and inherited the land of Canaan was that everything had been done for them in that land. Every generation's got to redig the wells of Abraham for itself. It's no good saying that our fathers, our pioneers, had a great vision of the truth. We've got to dig again in this generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. And notice the context. In verse 7, thou shalt diligently teach things unto thy children. Come down to verse 10. The middle of the verse. I'll bring you into the land which was given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged. And you and I, brethren and sisters, have come to an inheritance. We've been brought into the truth when the hard work of winning the truth out of the apostasy has been done by others. There are generations of Christadelphian works expounding the things of the Bible. We have inherited wells digged. But as the seed of Abraham, we've got to keep digging. We have to keep redigging ourselves and not rest upon our laurels and say, well, we have the truth. We have all the bookshelves. We've got to keep opening those books and digging for ourselves. Beware, he says, that when you inherit wells digged, that thou, in verse 12, that thou forget Yahweh which brought you into these things. We live in an age which evermore is trying to fill the minds of our children with their vile philosophies, with their poisonous concepts of look after number one, that happiness is found in owning things, that pleasure is the great god of the 20th and the 21st century, that morality is relative, the just do it philosophy, just try it, just experiment for yourself. All of those things are the Philistine earth that is trying to fill the wells of Abraham. Let us be the seed of Isaac and dig hard, brethren and sisters, that we might bring forth in our children wells of springing water.